Last time we talked about the four levels of spiritual warfare. The cosmic level is the highest level. The occult level is the next level. The ground level is the third level, and the personal level is the fourth level. And last time we looked at the cosmic level spirits over the nations, over the United Nations, over the world. We looked at Babylon, the spirits over Tyre, over major nations. These occult level or cosmic level spirits are directly under Satan. Now tonight, I want to begin with a look at the cosmic level spirits, or I should say the occult level spirits, the next level down. And in Ephesians chapter 6, let me read verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. These are principalities. These are cosmic level principalities that we looked at last time. Against powers. That's authorities. That's delegated power. That's the next level down. These are kind of like subordinate generals under the cosmic level generals. And then world rulers of darkness against spiritual forces and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. But the second thing here is world rulers or forces of this darkness. World is cosmos. Rulers is forces. It's Krator in the Greek. And what it means is that you have these authorities now down from the top level under Satan, under all of these major national spirits, especially the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of Antichrist. Then you have occult level spirits that are the next level down, and they are over small nations, they are over cities, they are over states, they're over regions, they're over tribes, they are over business groups, they are over church groups. They are almost all organizational. It's a concentration on political organizations, economic organizations, all kinds of organizational levels, so that, and the ground and personal are against individuals, but Satan has warfare against all of these, so that with the authorities over the smaller cities, over the smaller nations, over the regions, over the tribes, they also have this characteristic that they are of the world, of this cosmos, that's of the satanic system. The cosmos means a system or order of things that is separate from God, that is in rebellion against God, that is in opposition to the Word of God, that is opposition to Christ, that has an antichrist spirit. And they use force. Krator means force. They use force in order to take control. And when men sin and give in to that, they come under those forces. And then men sometimes get power because they are willing to give themselves over into the hands of these forces so that they can get force and power, so that they can get the things they want. Yes. But they don't really realize that they're actually under control. Anyone who gives himself over to sin and over to power is really under the control of Satan at the top, yes, then cosmic level spirits, yes, then the ones assigned under the occult level spirits.
Yes.
Now, I want to look with you at two verses, and then we'll go to an example of this in the scriptures in John chapter 12, verse 30. John chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes." Now judgment is upon this cosmos, all right? Those spirit levels, those spirits assigned at this occult level, there's already judgment on everything about the system right at the top level, the cosmic level. There's judgment on that. There's judgment on this cosmic level, on all these spirits assigned to the regions, the cities, the territories, the political organizations, the economic organizations, that Satan has. There's judgment upon this. "Now the ruler of this cosmos shall be cast out." Satan is the ruler of this whole system. These are demonic levels, the highest level underneath him, cosmic, the next level underneath him, the occult level. And what I've become to realize after studying this afternoon and tonight and praying, I'm realizing that the demon powers that are operating on the earth, that operate in human beings' lives, that come to inhabit people in ground-level spirit warfare, and that come to attack all of us at the personal level. Because at the personal level, every single one of us is under attack, especially through our mind and through our thoughts. And so these ground level and personal level that operate at this level are facilitated in their operations the more you have territories, states, regions, cities underneath the occult level power, and the more the cosmic level powers are penetrating. And I'll show you tonight how Paul overcame that as we go to Acts 19, because there is a way to overcome at every level. The cosmic level, the occult level, the ground level, the personal level, there is a way to overcome at every level, but we need to understand that Satan is highly organized. Some people I know in the Charismatic Renewal talked about taking authority over Satan in the past, but some of them have kind of acted as if we could kind of rail against Satan. Jude warns against derailing accusation. He warns against us causing or calling Satan names or doing things. We have to be careful. We have to cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. And we have to take, we are not to go into the heart of darkness until God prepares us and until the anointing is there. And even a spirit-filled Christian, we need to be prepared in prayer. We need to be prepared sometimes with prayer and fasting. We need to be prepared with the anointing of God in order to take authority over every level. Now, we can cause the ground level and personal level to leave totally. We cannot command cosmic level and occult level spirits to leave, but we can command in Jesus' name so that they do not influence us or overwhelm us. And I suspect that what was happening to me this afternoon and tonight is partly due to some regional spirits. That regional spirits over this place, because the Lord showed me one time that there was a spirit of Leviathan over Wilmore. And this is one of those spiritual ones that tries to crush out. Leviathan is like a snake. It's like a sea serpent, a sea dragon, and it attempts to crush out the life of the spirit and the move of the spirit. And God wants to move tonight, and the enemy wants to crush out the move of the Holy Spirit of God. God wants to reveal himself. He wants to give us a vision, a greater vision of who he is and the greater nature of his power, and that he has power over all this, and under him and under the blood of Jesus, we have power too. And so the Lord wants us to understand this. Now go with me to Acts chapter 19, because the Lord was opening up this afternoon in some new ways for me. And so I want to go through a number of verses in Acts chapter 19. First, how did Paul come against the occult level spirit over Ephesus? Now, this is a perfect example of these occult level spirits, the spirit that was over the city of Ephesus, or the spirits that were over the city of Ephesus. We know this, the spirit of Diana, or the spirit of Artemis. Artemis is the Greek and Diana is the Latin. We know that spirit of that goddess was over that city. And we know the spirit of Jupiter was over that city, or Zeus, who was a god of creation. Jupiter, the Roman god of creation. I'll say more about them in a minute, but we know from Acts chapter 19, we know that those two spirits, occult level spirits, were over that city, that whole region. This was a city-state. And so, let's begin to read and see how Paul dealt with this. I mean, he understood this. And so let's see how he dealt with this. And we have to understand that we can only deal with, whether it's cosmic level, occult level, ground level, personal level, we can only deal with these spirits and have freedom as we come under the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what Paul came to Ephesus to tell them. And about in verse 1, chapter 19, it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples there. Now, there were Christians there. They knew Christ, but they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've never even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." We don't know, Paul, what you're talking about. We were water baptized. We know you. We know Christ. But we don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, into then what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Now, let me say that John's baptism is important, because John's baptism is what Jesus himself experienced in Matthew chapter 3. And remember that John the Baptist didn't want to baptize Jesus, but this is an important preparation too for dealing with spiritual warfare. Why? Because water baptism is a symbol. As we go under the water, we die out. We die out to our own selves and our own strength. We as it were, are dead, coming out of the water in resurrection life, living in resurrection life, and only in resurrection life, dead to ourselves, dead to our own will, dead to our own mind, dead to all of those things of our own spirit, our own soul, our own body, dead to those things, and alive to the resurrection life of God is the only way we can deal successfully and defeat every level that Satan sends against us. It is out of the cross. It is out of dying. It is out of dying. Now, and while they heard this, they were baptized. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They are baptized by Jesus. We lay on hands as symbolic of the hands of Jesus. But Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And without the anointing of God, you better not try to deal with any level of spiritual warfare. Right. You need to come into the initial baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's essential. And you need to know. And this must not be merely a doctrine. You must know the anointing and the power and experience the anointing and the power. I was reading David Wilkerson's newsletter about a month ago, and he was saying, I wonder how many people are genuinely baptized in the Holy Spirit who say they are. I don't know. I don't know. I do know this. If you believe, and if you will receive, if you will open yourself wholly and totally, God will do. Jesus said, earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? And so if you ask and believe, God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But you will never see Jesus. Stephen saw Jesus because he had been baptized in the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit. When Jesus took the book of Isaiah in Luke 4:18, he said, as he read the book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit is upon me. And when Jesus was baptized under the water, when he came up, the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And so tonight, if there are any here tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you if you are not certain that you have, whether you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because it's the only way. And Paul, this is why the first thing he did when he came into Ephesus among the believers, this is why I constantly are talking almost every session we have here, almost every Saturday, I will ask, is there anyone who needs to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I challenge every class I teach and have for the 35 years I've been at Asbury. Have you been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Because I know that Christians cannot be used effectively. You cannot fight spiritual warfare unless you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Filled with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control, and then beginning to move in this gift, supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. I will not argue anymore with anyone about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, healings, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, supernatural faith. These are needed. This is what was needed here. This is what was flowing in the book of Acts. It was the only way they could overcome these cosmic level and occult level spirits so that they could operate and minister then to people's needs. You need to be baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There are two of the gifts, speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, some people say you have to speak in tongues. I always say you don't have to, but you can. And I believe it's important that you pray in the Spirit. But nevertheless, I think the most important reason you ought to pray in the Spirit so that you can get in that wavelength of the Holy Spirit, so that you can begin to get a vision of who God is, so that the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal the Father, that can reveal the Son, that can reveal what He has accomplished. And so you need to be in the anointing of the Spirit of God continually, day by day. But you need to come in to the initial baptizing power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And tongues is a way to sharpen that contact with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit flowing. And your tongue, you see, your tongue can connect to your mind, but it can connect to your spirit. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you're connecting your tongue to your spirit, not your mind. That's why your mind is unfruitful when you pray in the Spirit. But when you do that, you are teaching your tongue to be able to speak a word of knowledge, because your tongue has to speak something you don't know. Or a word of prophecy. Your tongue has to speak something your mind does not know. And so you're getting your whole spirit, your spirit, in tune with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit as you pray in the Spirit. Pastor Wormbrand said in his Tortured for Christ, he and his wife both were tortured terribly for the communists for 13 years. And he almost died. He should have died. He would have if God hadn't intervened. But every moment that they were not asleep, he was either witnessing or praying in the Spirit. Mrs. Wormbrand said she would pray in the Spirit often all night. It was the only way, she said, she could keep her sanity as they were beaten, as they were tortured, as they were kept from food. But the Lord came to them as they prayed in the Spirit, in the anointing of the Spirit. See, they were right in the midst of occult level and cosmic level spirit powers when they were in those prisons in the communist world in Romania and in Russia. And there were about 12 men. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Now, another thing you need to know to come up against these cosmic level spirits, these occult level spirits, in this case, we're talking about occult level spirits over Ephesus, you need to know about the kingdom of God. You need to know that Jesus is the King, and you are to preach the kingdom of God, witness to the kingdom of God, so that the power of God will flow through you, because it is only the power of God that will establish the kingdom. Only the power of God will establish the kingdom. And only the power of God will defeat Satan's power at any level, be it cosmic level, occult level, ground level, personal level. Only the power of God as it's flowing through you. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now note, the world will not listen. And when you speak and the world hears, and people who do not believe hear, they will begin speaking evil and they will begin coming up against you. And so Paul took his disciples aside, and they went into a secret place, and they began to study. They began to teach. In fact, notice verse 10. This took place for 2 years. For 2 years. Paul taught for 2 years on the kingdom of God and what it meant to move in the kingdom of God. And you cannot move in the kingdom of God unless you've been baptized in the Spirit and are moving in the Spirit. What was the result of that? God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. I mean, they carried handkerchiefs that had been anointed with Paul, and they laid them on people. And the power and the anointing was such that people were healed, and evil spirits, they were delivered. All of that was occurring there in that very place where Satan's throne was. Now, Let's shift grounds. Now, we start with verse 13. You shift grounds to the occult level spirits that are over this city. Paul was overcoming them because he had been baptized in the Spirit. He got the whole church, the people. When we lead people to Christ, we must lead them into the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit as quickly as possible. We must lead them. After you lead people to Christ, you need to lead them into the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. And then teach them how to walk in the Spirit daily. The warfare is increasing. I know it today. The warfare is increasing. But I know this, that the victory is increasing. And the more warfare, the more opposition, the more victory is coming. Now, here is some of the opposition that Paul faced. Also some, this is verse 13 now. Some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits in the name of Jesus. And I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, exorcism is not a scriptural practice. Jesus casting out demons is. And you in the name of Jesus casting out demons is. But exorcism, this is practiced all around the pagan world, where they believe in black and good spirits, evil good spirits and white spirits. In other words, none of the Holy Spirit, but they believe that there are good demons and bad demons is one way to put it. And so when I was in Haiti, they had witch doctors. They would cast out spirits. They would cast out demons. This is the kind of thing these people were doing. It's false gifting. It's not gifting of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you will always have, and what you had in Ephesus, I don't have time to tell you all about the city, but what you had in Ephesus was the right at the top, the cosmic level, you had witchcraft operating, you had divination operating, and you had sorcery operating. Witchcraft, remember, is that type of spirit activity to come over to control the spirit of people. Divination is where you have astrology, where you have a prediction of the future. It's not of God, and it's to control the mind of people. Sorcery is enchantment with drugs, music, and sex. And I'll say more about the illicit sex and the worship of sex here in Ephesus in a moment. But that was very powerful. So you had right at the top cosmic level spirits, and then you had this worship of Diana, and these people were under that influence. Now, this is why what happened. Verse 14. The seven sons of one Siva, a Jewish chief priest. Now, I want you to notice, these were religious people. These were religious people. Terms today, they are church people. And I've said it before, but I will say it again. The greatest attack and the greatest persecution that's coming on Christians is going to be from the organized church. Mm-hmm. It's going to come mainly from the organized church. People who have fallen away, apostates, fallen away, but claimed to be of Christ. Just like these chief priests in Israel claimed to be of God. Yes. And Jesus said, you are of Satan.
Yes, sir.
You are vipers. You are blind guys leading the blind. And so this is what we're talking about here. And an evil spirit answered and said to them, an evil spirit's talking to them. Don't talk to evil spirits. Now I have sometimes I've gotten in a place where it was necessary when you command in Jesus' name an evil spirit to name himself, so you can command him to come out. I will have occasion to mention more about that later. So sometimes you may have to command in Jesus' name for an evil spirit to name itself. But I don't get into conversation with evil spirits. No. I've heard some people who do that in praying. I wouldn't. Because evil spirits will tell you the truth and they will lie to you. And so I remember... Well, I remember, Vlad, tomorrow you remember Sasha, before he was delivered. He was talking to evil spirits. And when he got delivered from witchcraft, from a number of things, but he and a number of his friends were talking to evil spirits, and evil spirits were talking back to them. But that was before, of course, he came to Christ. And the man in whom was the evil spirit, well, verse 15, the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you? They were going to cast out. See, they were going to use exorcism, and they thought, well, the name of Jesus is kind of a magical name. We'll just use the name of Jesus. And so the evil spirit answered and said, I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, subdued all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and the Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Praise God. Praise God. But see, this is, why was this activity so strong in Ephesus? Because you had this demon spirit of Diana of the Ephesians and the demon spirit of Jupiter as occult-level spirits that were dominating this whole city. And Diana dominating not only Ephesus, but all of Asia Minor. That spirit was a strong occult-level spirit, and it encourages... It encourages other demon spirits to come to attack individuals. And many also of those who believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic. Now, this is sorcery. This is enchantment with drugs and music and sex. This is not sleight of hand. This is the kind of thing that the Babylonian magicians were into. This is the kind of thing that the Egyptian magicians were into. And they brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them, and they found it to be 4,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord kept growing mightily and prevailing. The word of God is the most important weapon. It is the sword of the word, Jesus, the word of God. If you are anointed with the Spirit of God, baptized in the Spirit of God, you must be full of the Word of God. You must know the Word of God. I know very well. I've been in many confrontations in different places with demonic power, and they cannot stand against someone filled with the Spirit, filled with the praise of Jesus, with the Word of God. They cannot stand against what the Word says, because the Word is powerful, because it's Jesus Himself. And so the Word of God prevailed here in this city. Now, go to verse 23. Go to verse 23. We'll tell you a little bit more about the occult little spirits that were over this place. And about that time, there arose no small disturbance concerning the way. This is the way of Jesus. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, made silver shrines to Artemis or Diana, was bringing in no little business to the craftsmen. Let me tell you a little bit more about Diana of the Ephesians. Artemis is the Greek name, Diana of the Ephesians. Diana was the daughter in Greek mythology and in Roman mythology was the daughter of Jupiter or Zeus. Jupiter in Rome, Zeus in Greek. And Jupiter is the god of creation. Diana was a goddess, and she was supposedly born of a virgin. I personally think, I cannot prove this, but I personally think, since all of the original zodiac, 12 signs of the zodiac, were pointing to Jesus, and since the first sign of the zodiac was a virgin would conceive, I believe this was a perversion. In fact, all of the worship of the gods was a perversion of the actual 12 signs of the zodiac that all pointed to Jesus. See, when God put the 12 constellations in the sky, They all pointed to Christ and how Christ defeated Satan. But these pagans, beginning with Babylon, then Egypt, then Medo-Persia, then Assyria, then Greece, then Rome, all of this same system. And so the worship of Diana, I believe, is a perversion of the prophecy in the first sign of the zodiac that a virgin would conceive, because she was supposedly a virgin. But from there, it gets immoral sexual conduct in the worship of all the goddesses and the gods of the ancient world. There was immoral sexual contact. Diana was many-breasted. And so the worship of sex and the mixing of sex, the mixing of sex, men, men, women, women. In fact, in the worship of Jupiter, which we will see here in a moment, we'll come to see. Well, let me read verse 36. Verse 35. And after quieting the multitude, the town clerk said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there, after all, who does not know that the city of Ephesus, or the Ephesians, is guardian of the temple of the great Diana?" By the way, Diana, the temple of Diana was one of the seven great wonders of the world, of the ancient world. It was known all over the ancient world. But, and of the image which fell down, my translation says from heaven, but you know what it literally says? Which fell down from Jupiter. Which fell down from Jupiter. So the two great occult level spirits over Ephesus were the spirit of Diana, worship of a goddess, but mixing of sex and immoral sex, and the worshiping of Jupiter, supposedly the god of creation. But how did he create? Out of immoral sex. Every one of his sons, and by the way, Ophicus was one of his sons in mythology. Hercules was one of his sons in mythology. Do you know that actually in the actual signs of the zodiac, that Ophicus was a sign of Christ? And that another sign of the zodiac, Hercules, was a sign of Christ? You see how this is perverted? All of these spirits, all of these spirits, whether they're cosmic level or occult level, like Diana and Jupiter, are Antichrist spirits. They are Antichrist spirits. They are anti who Jesus really is. They confuse the ancient world as to who Jesus is. People, listen. The key to everything false in the occult system, is a perversion of who Jesus is. A perversion of what Jesus has accomplished, because he has accomplished all in all. In the worship of Jupiter, there was immoral sex. In the worship of Jupiter, they had a priest and then his sister Venus. They had transvestite priests. Men who feminized themselves and claimed they were women. You see what's happening to us today in immoral sex, in the ballot initiatives, praise God, 11 states defeated or passed those amendments that define marriage between one man and one woman. But listen, this is not just what's going on in America. It's going on around the world. This is not just a political battle. It's not a battle for rights in the Constitution. That's totally false. This is a battle in the heavenlies to redefine how God has said a man and a woman can be blessed inside the covenant of marriage. Sexual activity is blessed and produces children and produces life. All sexual activity outside of marriage is death. This is the worship of death. To worship Diana is to worship death. To worship Jupiter is to worship death. These are occult level spirits. They are Antichrist spirits over this. Listen to what they did. Listen to how the people were controlled by this. Verse 26, you see and hear, not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia. All of Asia. This Paul has persuaded a number and a considerable number of people, saying that the gods made with hands are no gods at all. We're worshiping Diana, and Paul's saying that she's not a goddess. Worshiping Jupiter, and Paul's saying he's not a god. And not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship, all of Asia and the world worship. Should be dethroned from her magnificence. And when they heard this, they were filled with rage, and they began crying out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" The city was filled with confusion, and they rushed, according to the into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus and Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. And when Paul wanted to go into the assembly, the disciples would not let them. Verse 33, and some of the crowd concluded it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward, having motioned with his hand. Alexander was intending to make a defense to the assembly. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all, and they shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" Notice that confusion. These spirits bring confusion. These spirits bring death. These spirits bring a spirit of error. A spirit of error is growing. A spirit of error is growing in America. I can't believe how much error and falsehood is on the news, is in books. I teach history. There are more books today in history that teach falsehood than teach truth. I'm serious. There are more books in history that teach falsehood than teach truth. Falsehood is growing. Error is growing. Confusion is growing. This all comes from these cosmic level spirits, occult level spirits, that are moving over, and we cannot prevent that, but we, if we move in the Spirit, can keep away from any of their influence so that we do not have to be influenced by any of them. So what I have recognized more than ever before as I look at this chapter and as I look at the occult level spirit activity that's growing all around the world, these things are being revived. I don't know whether any of you have heard of Diane Nippers, but she's an Asbury graduate of around 1970, and she's in Washington, and she's the head of the Religion and Democracy Institute. About 4 or 5 years ago, she spoke to the Washington Federal Seminar. I take a group up there every year, and she spoke to that group. And she had gone to Beijing in China. And this was a conference, a world conference, of supposedly Christian women. And I do remember the Methodist Society, Women's Society, had delegates there. The Episcopal Church had delegates there. The Presbyterian Church had delegates there. I've forgotten how many, but many of the major denominations had delegates there. Do you know one of the topics they had? Worship of Diana. Worship of Diana and the goddesses. One other thing about the worship of Diana. This is part of where the radical feminist agenda is coming from. Now, when I say feminist agenda, I am not talking about equal rights for equal pay. I'm not talking about equality in a political or economic sense. I'm not talking about the women's right to vote. But radical feminism is claiming that it is men that have brought the wars. It is men that have brought things that are evil in the world. And so that women need to be raised up. And this spirit is also connected to the spirit of Jezebel. And there's one thing about the spirit of Diana I did not mention. But one of the main purposes of the spirit of Diana, the worship of the goddess Diana, is to promote feminism, radical feminism, to raise women where they can control, and control men, because supposedly men are the ones who have brought things that have led to war and destruction and death. It isn't men, it isn't women. All men and all women are equally fallen. And by the way, when we get into heaven, there is no difference between men and women. There is total equality in heaven. We don't live as men and women. So don't get too excited about rights for men or women down here on the earth, because God is not interested. And by the way, the fact that women are only in one sense submission, not in the senses, I don't want to get into that subject, but that does not mean that you ladies were not created equal in God's eyes. You were. You were created equal in God's eyes. Now, that does not come out equal in a physical sense, but it, as far as physical strength, for example. But if my results in the college are any guide, women do just as well as men intellectually, and maybe because they work a little harder, they get better grades for me. Now, I want to go to one other topic tonight. I want to get to the ground level, and I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Now we get from the occult to the cosmic, and now to the ground level. And the ground level in Ephesians 6, that's the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places, the spiritual hordes of wickedness. These are the infantry troops of Satan. Here you've got the cosmic level over the major nations, like the spirit of Babylon. Then you've got the occult level, like the spirit of Diana and the spirit of Jupiter, and those over smaller cities and regions and states and tribes. Then you have the kind of the infantry troops of Satan. And at both the ground level and the personal level, next week I'll talk about the personal level, they attack individuals. They attack individuals. Now, individual attack is facilitated by more activity at the cosmic and occult level. The more you, if you are in a territory, I can remember in the United States, I'm older than anyone here, and I can remember when there was very little occult demonic activity in the United States. When I was a child, not that I would have been totally aware, but I mean, I never ever heard of demonic activity. I'm sure there was a little, but there was not a great deal of demonic activity in the United States. You had to hear missionaries from the mission field. And I did, as a boy, hear missionaries talk about demonic activity. But that has totally changed. That's totally changed. Why? Because we have opened ourselves, and sin, let me say this, sin of people, of groups of people. And if you have a ruler who is in sin, and the people are in sin, this will open the territory and the nation to cosmic level and occult level spirit activity to increase. Satan knows his rights. Then down at this ground level, I want to close tonight by talking about Mark chapter 5, because I think it's the best chapter to look at ground level activity. Now, by definition, I'm using this ground level in this way. It is a demonic attack on individuals where demonic power actually enters the body of a person. Next week, personal level, it's not demons don't enter, they just attack from the outside. Everyone is underneath the personal level attack from the outside. Not any of us are exempt from that. But you normally have to give ground to the enemy in sinning before you open yourself to ground attack, that where Satan, where demons can actually come into you. Now, I avoid the use of the word possession, demon possession, because the word, English word possession, means that I possess this, I have this in my hand. This is a CD. It's my possession. I can do with it what I want. Satan never possesses a human being in the sense that he has total control. He can do anything he wants with a human being. Satan does not have that power. But he is allowed, when we give ground to the enemy, to enter us. And some of the main things that we can look at. They came to the other side. This is chapter 5, Mark, verse of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. Now there are many unclean spirits that promote sin. The most prominent unclean spirits are sexually unclean spirits. They are the most prevalent. They are the most prolific. I suppose partly because it is one of the easiest places where human beings give in to temptation. Because we're all tested and tempted. But that those unclean spirits, by the way, I was going to read it, but I won't take time. If you look in Romans, sometime in chapter 1, Paul says that because people knew their words of God, he said, all you have to do is to look outside. Look at the creation. Look at the grandeur. I love to look at my flowers. That's why I've got flowers. Because it reminds me of the glory of God and the heaven, the beauty of His creation. But
when you look outside, and houses,
you know there's a God. Everyone knows there's a God. The word say, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. And
those verses
talk about men with men sexually
with
women.
First you have to
will
practicing.
When you
continue
practice, and I have prayed when Paul was saying, homosexuals who don't have a demon
within them.
You know what it is if you pray, and if the Lord
shows you.
But
I
have
prayed
prayed
with
homosexuals who do have a demon. At some point,
you continue to choose sin, to continue to choose sin, you
continue to choose sin. At some point, you open the door
of a
demon spirit.
Here's the next
characteristic.
These are all
characteristics of ground level spirits and of what happens when demons come into people. He had a dwelling among
the tombs, and no one was able to
bind him anymore, even with a chain.
Superhuman strength. Superhuman strength is an
indication. I remember one of the first persons we ever prayed for was a college girl
who
had a satanic worship. She's a girl. We had a number of people. We had fellows there.
We had some big
muscular fellows there. I made the mistake, I didn't know much then about
this kind of warfare.
And so we would come up against these spirits and she wanted
to rid of them.
And we'd try to hold her down. And
she was all over the place.
We couldn't
hold her down.
That superhuman
strength
or
any more
explanation. You see, that's
if it
isn't of Christ, and of what is of Christ,
at least the
freedom, at least the peace,
at least the love, at least the joy,
I mean, there is
supernatural
healing that
does
such
things.
But it
will always be a...
I've seen it. I've seen it. Where people who are demonized, they know who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. When you get to coming up against demon powers, and when you have to name them, they know who Jesus is. And they know Jesus is more powerful. And they know whether you know him. They know whether you know him, and they know whether you know the word. And you have authority over them if you are in Jesus and you know the word, and you speak the word. You don't mess with your words. You just use what the scripture says. Because that's where your authority is. Amen. You have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing indeed shall injure you. How many times have I said to Satan, when he comes against me and tries to pressure me, I have authority over you. I have authority over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing indeed shall injure you. Me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we have to take that authority. For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" Now why did Jesus ask, "What is your name?" Now, this is another principle. There's always, if there are demons within people, there's always a strong man. There's always a lead demon. There's always a lead demon. Other demons, and you can command the, if this is the case, and I'm not talking about now just attack on the outside, I'm talking about demonic power that's come in a person. And if you can cast out demons. I remember one girl we prayed with years ago. We prayed one night. I thought she was free. Came back the next night. Same demons were in her. We prayed again. We bound Satan, cast, and demons left her. She came back the next night. Same demons were back in her. And finally, the third night, we realized that we did not have the strong man. And if you don't have the strong man, you are not going to be successful. And you can command in Jesus' name for that strong man to name itself. And I remember a case where we were praying with a woman, a black lady, who was over in our Nicholasville church, Ron. So she was all over the floor. And we were trying to get to what this strong man was. And so I pled the blood, bound Satan. I said, "In Jesus' name, I command you to name yourself." And all you could hear was blah, 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 blah. I mean, you couldn't understand a thing she was saying. And I kept commanding, and that kept happening. And so we began to pray. I said, "Lord God, speak, 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 speak. We've got to have this." And then the Lord put into my mind Seth. And I thought, I don't even know what spirit that is. That can't be right. That must be just in my mind. Neph, you're going crazy. I must just thought that up. Well, the Lord just kept putting in my spirit and mind, Seth, Seth. All right, Lord, I'll make a fool of myself. Listen, you have got to be like a little child. If Jesus keeps saying and keeps saying, and you think it's your I'll tell you, the hardest battle I ever had in this whole area is, "Oh, Lord, is this my mind?" And so in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan. I bind the spirit of Seth, and boom! Man. Writhing and screaming, and that spirit came out. Then the rest came out, and she was free. I'll see Vladin tomorrow. I think it was in 1998. I was at a camp. You were there, I think. But I don't remember his name. But there was a man who